The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus departed to the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. When day came, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon who was called a Zealot, Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. And he came down with them and stood on a stretch of level ground. A great crowd of his disciples and a large number of the people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And even those who were tormented by unclean spirits were cured. Everyone in the crowd sought to touch him, because power came forth from him and healed them all. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This year of faith, which we continue to mark, is meant to help us to grow in faith, to help us to nourish that personal relationship with the Lord so that we will, in fact, be stronger in faith. Today's gospel at the very end, people were coming from this wide geographical area. If we don't really know the geography of the Holy Land, it might be difficult for us to grasp, but Judea and Jerusalem were down the south. Tyre and Sidon was way up north. It's basically saying Jesus was in Washington, D.C., and people were coming from Maine and from Florida Keys and from Washington and from Tijuana to come on over to be with Jesus. Everybody was coming. But a lot of the people were coming just to be touched by him a little. Jesus wants something more. He wants a deep, continuing, loving friendship with him. And that's what St. Paul says his intention is in today's first reading. As you received Jesus Christ, the Lord, walk in him, behave in him, continue your progression of faith in him. Then he gives three very powerful and graphic images: rooted in him, built upon him, firm in the faith as you were taught. These three expressions were the motto that Pope Benedict chose for the 2011 World Youth Day in Madrid, Spain. I had the privilege to lead 31 young people over for that and give them a lot of meditations on what precisely Pope Benedict was saying. And he gave an incredible letter prior to World Youth Day to the young people of the world, describing how they and all of us are called to walk in Christ in these three ways. First image is rooted in the Lord. We've got an image of a firm tree with very deep roots. What are those roots? The Psalms say, as well as the prophets, that the one who walks in the way of the Lord will be like a tree with firm roots, planted by living streams, fresh water, so that no matter what winds come, it remains firm because it's got those deep roots. We're called, especially in this year of faith, to get our roots deeper in Christ, insert ourselves ever more in his word, in a sacramental life, in his own love, so that we will be strong when the storms of life come. Second image is built upon him, that we're constructed on the Lord who is the cornerstone. As I mentioned at the beginning of this year of faith, and then in our talk on the papal encyclical Lumen Fidei, which I'm sure you all came to because you're very good Catholics, one of the eight descriptions of faith is of a building. It's a building. Jesus said that the wise man is like a person who has built his house on rock, that even when the storms come and blow and buffet against the house, it remains firm because it was built solidly. Whereas the idiot It's the one who hears the words of God and doesn't build his life on them. It's like someone who constructs a house on the smooth sand in the middle of a valley, not knowing that the storms are going to come, run down into that valley and wash the house away. The images of the New Testament are all full of these architectural plans. That Christ is the cornerstone, that the apostles are the pillars of the house, and that each of us is supposed to be a living stone. Seems like a paradox, but the two images are really important. A stone, we're not Play-Doh that can be formed so easily by the world. We're strong, but we're also alive. We're not hard. We've got a heart of flesh. Like living stones, be built up into a spiritual edifice. That's what we're called to be. And in this year of faith, we've got to say, am I alive in faith? And alive means that we're growing. As a biologist, I'll tell you that. We know that somebody's alive rather than dead when there's cell division, when there's some type of growth going on. That's the difference between somebody who's alive and a cadaver. Are we growing? And then second, are we strong? That leads immediately to the third image, firm in the faith. We're not just overall stubborn with a backbone against anything not wanting to change, but that our real strength comes from God. Pope Benedict said, we need this strength today, because just like the early Colossians, who had so many heresies around that they needed to know their faith well and grow in it if they weren't going to succumb. So we have those same heresies flying all around us. St. Paul wrote to the Colossians, see to it that no one captivates you with an empty, seductive philosophy according to the tradition of men, according to the elemental powers of the world, and not according to Christ. Mentioned a few days ago, these heresies of Gnosticism there. That really didn't think that Jesus would have a body because matter was bad, spirit was good. And if Jesus didn't have a body, then he didn't walk on our planet. He was just kind of floating around the ground. That he didn't die on the cross because he was just a ghost. That he didn't give us his body and blood because he didn't have a body and blood to give. All of it comes down. An empty, seductive philosophy that pretended as if God didn't say that the world was good, 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 and with us very good, but rather evil. Today, what are our seductive philosophies? If it feels good, do it. Hedonism. As long as you say you love somebody, it doesn't matter if there's a moral law. That's all you need to do. Second, separation of church and state, which means separation of God from public life in this modern mentality. Don't you dare mention God in public. You know, Miley Cyrus can go do her gyrations on video awards, but God help the person who goes up and says, could I say a Hail Mary in gratitude to the Lord for this great award? We allow perversions, but we don't allow prayers. It's a culture there that we've got to oppose firmly. It's an empty, seductive philosophy. Third, you got to have money. You just got to have money. That's the path to happiness. That's the real security. Put your faith, hope, and love in Morgan Stanley, not in Jesus Christ, in your retirement plan, rather than an eternity. And then, probably most virulently of all, you're in charge. Don't let anybody tell you what to do. Be your own person. Don't be dependent on anybody, including God. These are the philosophies that are around. And many times, Christians, including Christians who come to Mass, buy them hook, line, and sinker. We spend, on average in the United States, 40 hours a week watching television, and so few minutes, frankly, praying, reading sacred scripture, really listening to the Lord. We're never really going to be firm in faith if we keep those proportions. Today, Jesus wants to call us, just like he called the apostles after his prayer, to be firm in faith this way, to be rooted in him, to be built up on him. In that litany of names, beginning with Peter, we see the dramatic transformation that was worked. That Peter was a person whose first words to the Lord were, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man," as we heard last week. He was able, despite that penchant for sinning, to become a rock firmly planted in Christ, on which the entire church could be built. None of us is called to be the prince of the apostles, but all of us are called to be a rock in faith, so that others, our kids, our grandkids, our friends, our godchildren, will be able to build their faith on ours, just like the entire church has been able to build our faith on Peter's. The Lord wants us and our names to be part of this litany. He has prayed for us that our faith may not fail. Let us ask him for all the graces that we might root ourselves evermore in him, like a tree in living water, that we might build our entire existence, everything we do, on him who is the cornerstone of our life, and that with him inside we might walk with him firm in faith, so that we might literally confirm the faith of others. Praise be Jesus Christ.